Okay, good. First, I want to thank to have the opportunity of talking in this very nice meeting. And then the work I am going to present is related with the energy, what people call energy partition and also segregation, two different phenomena. When you introduce and included in precisely the state Hunty has been talking about. The work I will present has been carried out in collaboration with María José and Paco Moreno in the University of Sevilla. Okay, there are two experimental features that has been recently observed, or not so recently, in invertebrate granular flows. The reference here are just reference to experimental papers. Later on, I will talk about theory. The first one is the breakdown of energy equipartition. That means that the temperature, what you usually call the granular temperature of the several components in a mixture, are different. And that has been observed in every invertebrate granular system in these two papers, one by Wildman and Parker and the other one by Feitosa and Menon. I will return to the result. They measure the temperature of the two components, and they realize that the temperature of the two components is different, but they realize something else that I will come back in a while. The second phenomenon that I'm going to talk about is particle segregation. That is an older phenomenon, is not longer ago. And here I have also taken what I consider two representative reference experimental papers dealing with this problem also in second. What I am going to try to show here is that both effects are closely related, and in fact, one implies the other. For a dilute mixture in the Trasser limit. In the Trasser limit means that there is the concentration of one of the components is very small, in the sense that formally you can consider that you have just one particle of one of the components. But the results I will present can be easily extended in many ways, as I will comment. This is the simplest case I can think of, and that is why that is what I'm going to present here. Let me say that from a theoretical point of view, from a theoretical point of view, the non-equipartition of energy, the fact that the two components have different temperature in the mixture has been studied for the homogeneous cooling state from a theoretical point of view by Jim Dafty and Vicente Garzó, and also has been realized by carrying out molecular simulation for other people who are here. Okay, the system I am going to consider is a low-density gas of an elastic hard disk. I am going to present the theoretical result in D dimensions, just because that is the way you can apply them to hard spheres and also to hard disk. The mass of the particle is going to be m, and the diameter sigma, and the coefficient of normal restitution of these particles of the fluid is going to be alpha. Then, that is exactly the system Huntley was talking about before. What I am going to do is to introduce in that system an impurity, an intruder, that is the Trasser limit. The mass of the intruding is going to be m0 and the diameter sigma 0, and the coefficient of normal restitution for the collisions between the intruder and the fluid is going to be alpha 0, alpha naught. Then the system, as in the previous case, is in a gravitational external field, or the intensity of the field is G naught. And the bottom wall is located at C equals 0 and is vibrating with a small amplitude and high frequency. And there is no open wall, the system is open. As I think everybody is convinced by now, the system is civet and in homogeneous steady states with gravity solely in the direction of the external field. And these hydrodynamical profiles are not affected by the presence of the impurity because we are in the Trasser limit. Let me also mention that this system is known to be unstable when you increase too much the width of the system. I think Kumara was one of the first ones showing the numerical result for this system after what has been studied, and there is a transversal instability when the width that is controlled by the inelasticity, the width of the system, and the mean free path, and the number of monolayers also. Okay, then this is the system I want to study. And then what I am going to talk about is the temperature profiles in this steady state. Tc is the temperature profile for the gas, for the fluid. I am in the low density limit, that is important. And T0 is the temperature for the impurity, the temperature for the component having a very, very low concentration as compared with the concentration of the fluid. Then, and that is one of the main results I want to present, is just here. Then assume there is a hydrodynamic state. That is the first assumption. and assume you can generate data to dynamic state by the Shamagin-Schoen method. Then, without assuming anything else, and I mean without assuming the gradient are small or are large, even without assuming that the fluxes are analytical functions of the pressure, if without assuming just the two things I have said, you get a condition that is verified to all orders in gradients. It doesn't matter how large is the gradient in your system. That is a very, very strong, a very robust result. And this is a condition relating the cooling rate for the fluid and the cooling rate for the impurity. If you are not in the transfer limit, what I mean is if you have both components have comparable densities, then the condition is the same. And if you are even if you go to the high density limit, when the densities of the two components, you cannot apply anymore the Boltzmann equation, the condition is the same. The point is that this is a functional of the one particle distribution functions of, for the intruder and for the gas, but if you are in the high density region, those quantities are going to be functionals of the end particle distribution function of the system, and then maybe you are not able to compute them.
This statement of equality is independent of the mass ratio of the two?
No, yeah, because both quantities, that is the next, I am going to make explicit both quantities, and both quantities depend on the masses and also the restitution coefficients on everything. But I won't.
They remain equal anyway.
Yeah, they are going to provide, in fact, what they are going to provide me is the expression for the temperature ratio.
When you say intruder, do we mean dilute phase?
When I mean intruder, I mean that the what is called the molar concentration of one of the components is much smaller than the molar concentration of the other.
So we can consider it to be dilute. Very dilute.
No, it's very dilute. But as I said, even if it's not, this condition is still valid. If you start from instant from the S-Koch equation, you get the same condition.
Yeah, but it seems to me you're suggesting that we can view this as a single particle intruder. And I don't think I could accept that. I can accept a dilute phase spread continuously through the density.
Yeah, but the point is that from a mathematical point of view, you can neglect the collision between one of the components, and that is what you call the intruder, and formally it's equivalent to have just one particle.
Well,
that is,
I wouldn't go that far, but
Shabir,
we can talk about
are
that.
Are you really saying anything more there than that the intruder temperature and the bath temperature should come to a fixed ratio and stay in?
I am saying that ratio can be determined to all orders in the gradients by this relationship, independently of how strong is the gradient, independently of whether even the fluxes are analytical functions of the gradients. As long as you assume that you have a hydrodynamic state and that that hydrodynamic state can be generated by the Shamagin-Schoen method. Because that is a lowest order condition that is remains unchanged to all orders in gradients, even if you assume non-analyticity in the gradients. Let me go on, okay? Then this is not a small gradient approximation, but valid to all orders in the gradients. Even more, it holds for any hydrodynamic state of the fluid. What I mean by that is that I am applying this to every special state, to the vibrated state, but you can apply this relationship to any state. It's as strong as the fact that in the molecular system, the temperature of all the components are the same. And that it doesn't depend on the state you are considering, it doesn't depend on the density, it doesn't depend of anything. But here you have also a formal relationship that doesn't depend of anything. But you are supposed to compute these two quantities in a given approximation depending on the state you are considering. In fact, as I said, in the case I am using, these two quantities in the low density limit are functionals of the one particle distribution function of the system. And even to show that many of the details are not relevant to make things as simple as possible, what I have done is just you take the formal expressions for these two quantities that are functionals of the one particle distribution function, and I use Maxwellians. I know that the distribution function I am supposed to use there are not Maxwellian, but I am going to use Maxwellian as an approximation. I can do that, of course, quite easily by using Samsonin expansion for the distribution function. Let me see something else. These are not the cooling rate in the state you are considering. These are what I will call the cooling rate in the reference homogeneous cooling state. What I mean by that is that this quantity, the formal expressions of this quantity, do not depend on the particular state you are considering. The distribution function you are supposed to use there in that expression doesn't depend on the particular state the fluid is. Okay, in this way, what you get? In this way, you get this relationship in the case I am studying. Which are the quantities here? Here you have essentially the temperature ratio and also the mass ratio in the other way. That is going to be very important. Try to keep this quantity in mind because it's good. Oh. Ah, I don't want that to happen. Sorry. Okay. Sorry. Then this is the quantity I want to compute. This is the temperature of the intruder, this is the temperature of the gas, or this is the temperature of one of the components, this is the temperature of the other component. I have a quantity here, H, that depends on the masses and on one of the restitution coefficients, formally of the restitution coefficient for the collisions between the fluid particle and the intruder. This is another parameter, beta, depending, in this case, of the restitution coefficient for the gas, and this is the diameter ratio. Then the idea is, if I know these parameters for a given system, I can introduce this parameter here, and then I can solve to find the solution for phi, and then from the solution for phi, I get the mass ratio in this problem. And there is no any adjustable parameter at all here.
So it's just the ratio of the mean square velocities.
Yeah. Okay, this is a cubic equation. The first point mathematically should be whether you have physical solution, and it's very easy to check that for all the physical values of these two parameters you get just one real solution. There is no any kind of, there is some strange behavior when you go to the Brownian limit, but I am not interested here in the Brownian limit because it's in practice, in this derivative system, you cannot take the Brownian limit because the very last particle is going to fill a lot the wall vibrating, and you are going to have a boundary layer of the order of the system in the Brownian limit.
I don't understand. Can you explain the first equation again?
Okay, this is the equation I have obtained from the previous from the previous expression saying that the cooling rate was supposed to be the same. And formally, this expression is going to provide me the temperature ratio if I know all the other parameters of the system. And something very strange comes at this point, a very strong prediction. Which is that prediction? This quantity doesn't depend on the position. This quantity doesn't depend on the position either. Then phi cannot depend on the position. Then the temperature ratio cannot depend on the position, in spite of the fact that the temperature of the fluid is highly inhomogeneous. When you go, as you saw in the, even in the experimental picture, you have a decay of the temperature that is almost exponential. Let's forget about whether the temperature afterwards increases or it doesn't increase. But it's saying that first, that you don't have equipartition, and second, that the temperature ratio, it doesn't depend on the height where you measure.
But can I check, have you there assumed that temperatures with temperature gradients times mean free paths are small compared to the temperature?
No, all I am assuming up to this point, the only thing I have assumed is that the fluid, the gas is an aerodynamic state. And that is not my point. I believe that is real. If you put your intruder in a system that is not in an aerodynamic state, then it's a different problem.
So I think the answer to my question is yes.
Okay.
I'm not sure what a hydrodynamic state means.
Hydrodynamic state means that you can describe that state by the dynamic fields and all its derivatives, space derivatives.
But aren't you neglecting variations or distances comparable to the particle dynamics?
Sorry. What I have done is just what I said. I mean, I have aerodynamic state. I am putting my intruder into that aerodynamic state, and I assuming there is aerodynamic description for the intruder, and that aerodynamic description can be generated by mean of the Chapman-Eskov procedure. No more approximations. And then I have the very strong prediction that first, that there is no equipartition of energy. Second, I have an explicit value without no parameter, adjustable parameters for the temperature ratio. And then that the temperature ratio is not going to be independent of the position. All that. And let me say something else. This, the fact that the temperature ratio didn't depend on the height in the system was experimentally observed by Fettosa and Menon, who studied exactly this problem. It wasn't an intruder, but nevertheless he observed the same effect. I know why they observed the same effect, in spite of being not in the intruder limit or in the tracer limit, and the reason is that the density of the two components were the same in the region, and then the density cancels out when equating the cooling rates. The density of the two components cancels in the two terms, and that is why you have the same relationship when the density of the two components is of the same order. Let's check this, and then we have carried out molecular dynamic simulations for this system. The density, the results I'm going to present are for D equal 2. The number of particles for the fluid is going to be always the same. This is going to be the restitution coefficient for the fluid, and that cannot be changed too much, but it doesn't mean that kinetic theory doesn't work. It means that you come into the region in which the system becomes unstable. I am going to modify that value, but it has nothing to do with my intruder. In fact, you will see here, let me say that for the intruder, I am going to report values for the restitution coefficient as small as 0.3. Okay, as small as 0.3. Okay, this is the width of the system. The wall moves in a sort of way with this velocity, and this is the mass ratio I am considering in this slide. This is the solid line here is the temperature profile for the fluid you get from the simulations. And these different symbols here are the temperature profiles for the intruder with different values of the restitution coefficient, and I have here written also the values of H for a reference, because H is the parameter involved. You see that there is really no equipartition of energy. In fact, the ratio of energy can be very, very large. You see that the difference of temperature here is, here the temperature is of the order of 6, while here for this case for 0.3 is of the order of 2. That means that the temperature here is a scale with the velocity of the wall. In fact, for the system Huntley was talking about, you can realize that it doesn't matter in the way you move the wall. The only thing that changes is that temperature profile is multiplied by a constant. It's scaled with the scale of the velocity. Okay, then there is no equipartition of energy. Let us check what happens with the temperature ratio when you divide the temperature of the intruder by the temperature of the fluid, and you see that according with the theoretical prediction, it remains constant along the system, and quite surprisingly constant, because this is in fact the vibrating wall. There is almost no boundary layer. It's a quite surprising result. There is no, of course, here you have the noise because that is a Knudsen gas, and you cannot apply hydrodynamics for other reasons, has nothing to do with my discussion. But inside the bulk of the system, up to this, this is measured the high units of the diameter of the fluid particles, and you see that the temperature remains constant as predicted. But then let's see whether the temperature ratio, the values for the temperature ratio, are well predicted by the theory. And this is the theoretical prediction, the phi I showed you before, and these are several values of time from the simulations by changing the mass ratio, by changing also the restitution coefficient, going up to 0.3, and all the points lies on the curve. You can even force a little bit the things and go. Let me show whether I can go or not. This is when you go even stronger. I mean, what we have done here is to go to 0.8 for the fluid, that is very low. You are almost very close to the threshold of the instability I was talking about before, because now the fluid is quite inelastic. But nevertheless, the agreement between the theoretical prediction and the experiment and the numerical result, sorry, is still quite good. Then we conclude that we even have other results for by changing other parameters of the system, and the results are always robust and consistent. Okay, let's talk about what happened with, suppose you introduce or you want to study now the impurity density, how the impurity is going to be relative to the fluid, whether the impurity is going to be, I will explain what I mean by that, above the fluid or below the fluid. Then what you do is you go to the equations, to the hydrodynamic equation. Again, I am assuming that there is a hydrodynamic state, and you write the evolution equation, the hydrodynamic evolution equation for the density of the intruder, and of course the mathematical condition is that in a steady state, the flux of mass for the intruder must vanish. Then you compute it, and that is the difference with the previous result I was talking about. What I am going to do from now on is restricted to the low density, to the low gradient approximation, to the Navier-Stokes approximation, is not as general as the previous result. But then you compute this, and you have this expression. That is again playing the game using the Chan-Mansky procedure, and you have three contributions. This is the density ratio. This is proportional to the temperature gradient, and this is proportional to the pressure gradient. These are three coefficients, 1, 2, and 3 coefficients, and I have only written here the expression for what I have called the pressure diffusion coefficient. In fact, this is a generalization of a result by Jim Dafty and Vicente Garzó. But anyway, this is the expression for this transport coefficient here. Okay? And let me say you something, remind you something, because that is the important point. This coefficient here, forget for the moment about this, because this is related with inelasticity, and this is also related with inelasticity. What I mean by that is that these two terms are much smaller than this one. But look to the prefactor in front of it, phi minus 1 over phi minus 1 over phi. And remind phi is this quantity. Then you realize that this coefficient is going to change sign depending on whether phi is larger or smaller than unity. And you can, and this is exactly similar to what happened in the elastic case. Suppose you have a system that is at a constant temperature in a gravitational field, and then you have a particle, and you want to know whether that particle is going to fall down, or is going to float in some sense, or is going to stay. Then you have exactly this expression for this coefficient, and you have, instead of having this here in the elastic case, this is just the mass ratio. And the mass ratio is determining whether your particle is going to stay up or is going to go down. But then here you realize that it's not the mass ratio in the elastic case which is going to control whether this coefficient is going to be positive and to produce a flux in the direction of the increase in pressure, or is going to produce a flux against the direction in which the pressure increases. If you want, I have the expression for this mu, this is some collision frequency, but it's not important. Then you want to study the relative position of the intruder with respect to the fluid, and you must adopt some criteria to define both positions. You can adopt the maximum density, where the density is maximum for the intruder and for the gas, or you can adopt the criterion of the center of mass for the intruder and the center of mass for the gas. Both criteria turn out to be equivalent. I mean, they lead exactly to the same result. Then, that I already said before, what that means is that have a segregation criterion for this case, depending on the sign of phi, depending on whether phi is larger or smaller than unity, the particle is going to go up or is going to stay down, depending on the value of phi. But that is just to say that there is a small region in the space parameters when beta is larger than h over 2, and I'm going to talk about that region. I'm going to restrict to, because the general criterion is very complicated, because you have all the parameters of the system playing a role there. But then if you go to the region where this holds, then that it happens what I said before, that this coefficient is determining whether the particle is going to go up or down. And this is the conclusion you reach. Okay? That's the conclusion. Then you have a segregation criterion. And I am going to show you some results for not the one nice case, one of the less nice case. And this is how the density profile, the solid line again is the density profile for the fluid. And you see here, as you change the restitution coefficient, that is what has been changed here, the density profile for the intruder changes in this way, moves toward the right, decreases, and there is an over probability here in this region that moves also the mass center to the right to highest point. Okay, this is in qualitative agreement with the discussion. Okay, and these are the results when playing with all the parameters in the system. And the result is again very clear, because the prediction was that when phi was larger than 1, the intruder was higher than the fluid. And if you, I haven't dropped this line here and this line here, but if you think it's true that the mass, the relative position of the intruder with respect to the fluid is higher when phi is larger than 1. It doesn't go in the contrary direction. In fact, again, I am not going to show many pictures, but this one, what happens when you incorporate the results for alpha equal to 0.8 for the fluid, the agreement is still extremely good. I mean, there is no any discrepancy with the theoretical prediction. I mean, you have segregation in one way or in the contrary way, depending of the values of the parameters. Of course, you can play with many, there are many other parameters or many other possibilities, but believe me, we have hundreds of points on all them fit extremely well in this picture. Okay. And just to finish an additional comment, the first one is that what I have presented, I think I already said that, I have presented for the ratio of the temperature can be easily extended beyond the Traser limit and also to high density, keeping them as well in approximation. If you do that, it's very easy. The segregation criterion is also easily extended beyond the Traser limit, but it seems hard to extend to high densities because in this case you need explicit expressions for the mass transport coefficients. And we don't know, maybe you can derive them from an ESCO theory, but maybe at high density, because we were talking the other day, velocity correlation become also important and the theory is not going to work so well. Moreover, I want to stress that maybe when you go to higher densities, there are other mechanisms also playing a role in the segregation phenomenon. And here I am reporting two papers where two different mechanisms, in fact quite different, are presented to explain segregation. But in any case, I am not able to think of any reason why can you expect that the mechanism I have described here today is not playing a role even at high densities. Okay, that's all.
How does your expression for the ratio of the temperatures differ from earlier expressions that exist in the literature?
As long as I know, the expressions I know exist in the literature are by Jim Dafty and by Garzo, the one I refer to, the fact that the two components have different temperatures.
Well, Mancini and I did one probably 1988, and Alain Barrett and his co-workers have done one in the past.
For any, I didn't know that, maybe. But as long as I was aware up to this moment, I have to check. No one has used that in for a non-homogeneous state. I mean, I think there. No.
I think the expressions are sensitive to some aspects of the inhomogeneity and not others, and they exist for body forces.
No,
I think they're more general expressions.
No, let me say something. What I have presented here is for a very specific case. I have compared with molecular dynamics simulation and the agreement is perfect.
Okay, all I'm saying is that other workers have derived similar expressions, and I'm curious as to how yours compares.
Okay, you give me the reference and we compare. I'd be glad to compare.
can I ask, standard Gibbs distribution would say that, I want to ask about the height distributions that you observe. Because obviously the height distribution in the Gibbs equilibrium is e to the minus mgh over kt, and in your case, let's admit temperature varies with height, and I'm curious to know how accurately they conform.
Extremely bad.
Extremely bad.
Extremely bad.
Even though, I mean, what's interesting, because m over t usually appears there, but...
Yeah.
That works
better. Yeah. Even for, but that is true even for in the one component case. You don't need to go to a mixture. Even for a one component case, it goes extremely bad. The barometric expression for.
But there's a bit more hope. Well, no, because if you match the intruder to the post, then.
Yeah. Anyone else? Maybe you mentioned this already, but how important is the inclusion of non-empty partition in predicting segregation? So it doesn't matter.
It does. If you don't include that the temperature is different, yes, then the segregation is controlled by the mass. It's only by the mass, and that means that whenever you have a heavy particle is going to be down, but that is not what is observed experimentally. In fact, that cannot explain what is called the reverse and the direct brushing net effect.
Are both of your constituents dilute? Maybe I missed that. What,
sorry.
Is the intruder and the background material, are they both dilute?
The specific simulations I have shown are for a dilute gas, and the other gas is much more diluted.
Okay, dilute.
Dilute. But I said before, the formal expression is the same. Is one of them for dilute in the same order. And I said that also that Menon has observed that experimentally, even in the high density region, for very high.
Sorry, the expression for the dissipation was a dilute expression.
Sorry?
The dissipation expression that you're equalizing was for dilute gas.
Yeah, but the only difference when you consider the gas is that you have the pair correlation function in front of the expression. That is why it's very easy to do that also, if you assume that the Esper equation is going to hold.
But the pair correlation function can depend upon the identity of the particle, right?
Yeah.
So you have to put that as a
pre-factor. Yeah. Let me ask you, I think you almost said this just now, so I want to see if you really said it. do you think there's the prospect that taking this across to the really high density limit, that this matches onto the Brazil nut effect?
No, what I mean is that this is one of the mechanisms which are going to play a role. I am sure there are percolation effects, that there are geometrical effects, that there are diffusive effects, and many other things in other cases. But what I am saying is that as long as I knew up to just 5 minutes ago, no one had introduced these mechanisms to explain segregation.
I think you have to be careful about the kind of agitation that you're applying to the system. And I think in the very early paper by Rosado, and they made a fairly clear distinction between what a shake is and what the kinetic theory requires as a background agitation.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I think the analogy here is if you took a low-density gas of red balls and blue balls and had the same mass but different diameters, then the diameter difference, which doesn't show up in the barometric equation here, shows up in Javier's distribution, right? So different on the diameter size, you have blue balls on the top, red balls on the bottom. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is pressure gradient. So because of pressure gradient,
no, in fact, I didn't go into those details, but what plays a role, in fact, is the density gradient. I have to play with the expression for the flux in order to find the criteria, but it's that coefficient. It's the coefficient proportional to the density gradient.
Time to adjourn.
Thank you, both speakers.
Thank you.